What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 402. And of course, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. Of course, my co-host is Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. Just another week has gone by. We're already like a third of the way through the year. I know. It's just going.
The
weather's changing nice. Like I was out outside this evening, was pretty nice out. So
the past like 3 days, I mean, it's not typically bad, but it's been like kind of just cloudy and like a little cold. It's like back to the normal San Diego weather, and it is so nice. Like I went outside today just for a little bit. I didn't want to come back in. It was like I just want to go sit at the beach, but obviously, you know, you got a lot of stuff to do, so you can't do that. But yeah, it's summer's coming up, and we have a product today that we're going to be talking about, which is perfect for summer. Are you excited for summertime?
Yeah, I was thinking about it. Like the pool has me excited. Like I always love going to the pool in the neighborhood.
Yeah, it's always fun to see Ryan get a tan.
yeah.
You know.
Well, and like this last weekend, I mowed the yard for the first time, checked all my sprinkler valves and heads and everything. So it was like, it's really coming through. The grass is green again. And nice. Yeah, so I'm excited. Yeah. I hate the heat. Like I don't like being hot, but
pool's fun. The only thing that, so like living in San Diego now, this will be like, it'll be like 3 years, like in a week, I think. Yeah. The summertime is not fun at the like major beaches here because it's tourist packed. Season and it just gets so packed and it's just like, but luckily, like I've been here for a little bit, so like I know the little, like I know the local spots where like tourists don't typically go, which is nice. So then you don't get stuck in that. But there's just a lot of traffic and everything. I try to just stay in my like little area here, so I don't get stuck in all that. But it is always so funny because everybody's like, oh yeah, summer, and then like, you know, end of August, you know, all the tourists leave, and you're like, I get the nice beaches back to myself. So
yeah.
That's cool. So yeah, but we have a lot to talk about this week. Some interesting things going on. Before we do, did you see any? We didn't really post any on the site, but did you see any April Fool's tech stuff?
I'm trying to think. What was one? No, but I was getting annoyed today on my phone, like getting like article suggestions and stuff, like just, you know, scrolling to like news pages, and it was like, oh, this product. And then it was like 2 days old, so it was like a fake product. You know what I mean? So I saw him coming through that way, not necessarily on April Fool's, though.
I saw a couple,
but I don't even remember.
Kind of just expect it, and none of them were like, wow, like they really, like the marketing team really thought this one out. It was just like, I know Be Quiet had like a bunch of fans, like as a, like that would make you lift off the ground. Or something stupid. I know who else. Razor hats. I forget. There was like, I don't know. There was a bunch, but I didn't really like. There wasn't any that I was again like necessarily like super impressed with per se. Sure. And we will talk about a product that everybody thought was April Fool's, but it apparently is coming out as a product, which seems really interesting as well. But we're gonna jump right into all of our content for this week. The first thing. If you guys do want to follow along, is that we, of course, have a show notes page right here that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week, links to everything if you want to follow along. Or, of course, if you are listening on audio later, you can get more information, or if you just want to check back, everything is linked in our show notes. Now, the first thing we're going to be talking about is something that I think everybody has these days. Everybody has some type of camera, whether it's inside the house, whether it's outside the house, for just peace of mind, security. I know that I have a camera. Most people have the camera doorbell.
We got to see when that Amazon package gets here, right?
Wait, what?
You got to see when that Amazon package shows up.
You also have to see who's like at the door. You're like, do I want to get up?
I'm not home.
Yeah. But most people have the camera doorbell, but then, you know, you do have either some outdoor cameras or some indoor cameras. Like I said, I have the camera doorbell, plus I have outdoor and indoor cameras. Just to, you know, like I said, you always want peace of mind. Or like, I live in an apartment complex, and like when the maintenance people come in, you just want to, you know, make sure they're doing what they're supposed to be doing and all that kind of stuff. So the problem with a lot of cameras, especially if you're doing like outdoor cameras, is they have, almost all of them have to be connected to power somehow, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like running that long cable. I had cables running back when I lived in Pittsburgh from like the original Wyze cams. I had it running, you know, into the little crack in the window and then back into the room. I had all this crazy stuff going on to keep those powered. But SpotCam has new cameras that don't require any wires at all. So this is their SpotCam Solo Pro. And like, you can put them anywhere because they're completely wireless, obviously. But on top of that, they're, you know, they have batteries inside, so they don't require any external power, and you can just recharge them anytime, which is really great. So they come in a pack of two or a pack of four. We have the two pack here. The two pack does come with a base station as well. And the base station allows you for full-time recording. So all of these companies, more or less, have come to the subscription model. Even the YCM, which we all know, they're trying to sell you some subscription for cloud storage, for AI detection, whatever it may be. All these companies, they kind of realize that their hardware lasts a long time. They need some type of subscription model. And SpotCam also has a subscription model, which we'll talk about. But they have this base station where you can just install an SD card, and you have like 24/7 recording all the time if you wanted it. So, but yeah, the cameras themselves are pretty small, as you can see. 2.5K cameras. They have audio back and forth, so two-way audio. So if you did need to talk to somebody through the camera, you can go ahead and do that and talk back to you. Very cool little, this is their omnidirectional stand. And basically it's a big magnet. So there's magnets on the actual device itself. And then you have this, and then this has a magnet on the opposite side. And basically anything that's metal, you can just clip these on, and it's very, very sturdy and everything like that. The only thing I didn't like about it is like, if you wanted to use these inside somewhere, just standing on their own, just like kind of how you have them here, they don't have a normal stand on the bottom right here. So if you wanted to stand them up on a desk or on a shelf, you really can't angle them at all.
And they look like they're pointing almost up a little bit in this picture. Maybe
they're
not.
Pretty, I mean, the viewing angle is quite wide, like most of these cameras are. So that's
it'd be nice to be able to.
Yeah, to be able to move them just a little bit, I think that would have been a lot better. Now, the bottom does have your quarter thread, so you could put this on anything that supports a quarter thread, which is like, you know, little, you can buy anything, mostly that are made for cameras, but you can do that. But yeah, they're, like I said, they're really small. They're really easy to use. Now, the only thing that kind of bothered me about these is you hear completely wireless. These are completely wireless. Mm-hmm. But in order to set these up, you need a wired connection to your router. So okay. I've reviewed cameras in the past where they, you know, all of them now come with the base station. Mm-hmm. You plug the base station in, just like this is just a plug base station. You plug it in, and then you connect to it via Bluetooth through their app. And then you select your network, and it connects to your network, and then you're done, right? Yep. Very easy to do. But this one, for some reason, requires Ethernet. Now, I like the idea of Ethernet. I like the solid connection, right? Back to the, you know, I like having the better connection back there. But for like the normal user, like I know so many people that they didn't set up their router. Like they have no clue what they're doing.
Right. Or they don't have like any wired devices. So they don't even have an Ethernet cable. Now this might come with one, but
this comes with the Ethernet cable. Okay. But at the same time, like, I mean, I had to unplug something from my switch, like, you know what I mean? To use these. Like that was kind of, and there's no way to do them wirelessly. Even if you set them up initially via Ethernet, there's no way to do it. And one, I mean, the Ethernet cable is like decently long, but I mean, it's still, you still need to be in relative distance, right, to it. So that's a little weird in my opinion. You know, but, and then another thing on top of the base station is a QR code. And as you're going through the process on your phone to get them all set up, you have to scan that QR code. So like I, you know, over by my router, I connected this and put it back down in. And then I'm like going through the thing. I'm like, oh, I have to go back down in there and try to take a picture of this QR. Like it was just a little annoying to say the least. You know, where the wireless, even though it's wireless, like the wireless connectivity for the base station. And I, like I said, I went through that process on other security cameras like this, so much easier. And again, for the end user, like, like there's so many people, and even say like if I didn't have my switch in here, a lot of like apartment complexes, the switches are built into like a electricity cabinet, and like the end user,
yeah,
the end user has never gone in that cabinet ever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because most of these new, especially like if you live in a new complex, everything's pre-wired, so you don't even like know where your router is, you know, unless you go in that cabinet. Old man in the chat says, do they use an app to send notifications when motion is detected? Yeah, that's one thing I really like about the spot cam. So these are pictures from the app itself. And I use it on my iPhone, but they have web-based as well, which is something that a lot of companies don't offer. A lot of companies are app only. You can't do it through the website. But here, very easy to go in and you can see how much battery is left. You know, you can do a live view, you can get alerts. So you can get alerts via the app, like, so just send you a push notification to your device. But on top of that, it can send you emails too, which I really like. Sometimes just push notifications are weird. Sometimes they don't work. We've all been there, but like getting an email, you can see something, you know, something's up, and you can do that. So you can easily set notifications. You can do everything that you can do on most cameras. Like you can set zones within the actual area. You can set timers. You can do all of that. I really like that. And then, like I said, they do have a full-on website where you can view everything. So you can go into any browser, you know, and see what's going on, which is pretty cool, especially if for some reason someone steals your phone or you're in like some, you're like, I have to see what's going on at home. You can just go into the Apple store, go to SpotCam's website, log in and see your stuff, which is really nice. So definitely like that. We have video tests in the article if you want to see it. You can record up to 30 seconds of motion. Like when it detects motion, it will record for up to 30 mm-hmm. seconds, which is nice. And again, you can have full-time recording using their the base station and an SD card. Now, they do offer 7 days of cloud storage, which is really nice. So any motion that's detected, it's automatically uploaded to the cloud and it stays there for 7 days for free. So you don't have to pay for anything like that. Now you can pay for longer plans, but typically if something's being recorded, maybe somebody steals something from your house, there's a break-in, you know, you were gone during vacation for a week and Amazon said they left something there, but it wasn't there. You find out your neighbor stole it, you know, whatever those things may be. You know, you can go back at least 7 days. So I think that covers most people. Now, if somebody wants a longer period of time, you can buy longer packages through SpotCam. I like these. I think the setup process was a little, for a non-tech person, it would be just kind of annoying, I think, with having the wired connection and all of that. Going through the app and going through it is pretty easy, but connecting things to your router and doing all that was just a little bit annoying. I do feel like their app is a little slow too. And it's been like that since we've been reviewing SpotCam products for years, and the app compared to other ones, it's just a little slow. I don't know what it is. It's just, to me, it's just a little slow.
I was curious, like what you said, that they can record like just full-time record and they're recording back to that micro SD card. Did you do any of that like recording to just like, and I'm just curious, like what battery life you get when you start doing the 24/7 recording.
That, well, if you're 24/7, if you are 24/7 recording, they're initially set up to just record motion, right?
Okay.
So you're not going to record 24/7. Now, you can set them up in other ways, but yeah. So their battery life is all dependent on how much motion there is. Yeah. I initially set one of these up on my balcony, pointing at the road. And if you guys have heard this podcast
all the time,
it's always going. And the battery was dead within the weekend. Like it was not long at all. And I set them up like in, like around here, like, a, you know, and they've still been lasting for a while. They say up to 6 months. One thing that's nice is that the omnidirectional mounts that they have, like you mount the mounts and then you can just pull the camera right off, right?
Yeah,
you don't have to remount, which is nice. But again, if you are planning to put this in a busy area, you will have to recharge quite often. So that's something to keep in mind, because you have to remember when you're recharging, you don't have coverage on whatever you're trying to do.
I mean, you can plug these into a like power source to have them always on, right? Yeah,
you can plug these into a power source. SpotCam themselves do sell like the solar panel adapters too, and all that kind of stuff, that just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But for a truly wireless solution, I think they are pretty good. I think installation could be better. And I just don't know what it is with their app. It's just a little slow to me. But beyond that, I think they're pretty cool. The two pack is $300. So I think that's a decent price for what you are getting as far as all of what this offers. But yeah, I think it can be improved. Mainly the installation and the fact that you have to plug them in. And I just wish their app was just a little bit better. It's just, I don't know what it is. But yeah, I gave them an 8 out of 10. So if you're interested in something like that or have more questions, definitely let us know. Moving on from there, we talked about summer, and one of the best things, whether you're at a pool party, whether you're hanging out with friends, you're at the beach, wherever you are, you want some good tunes. You want some music. Yeah. You want to set the mood, whatever it may be, you know. And Tribit sent us over their Stormbox Flow portable speaker. This is going to be a great little speaker. I love Bluetooth speakers. Like, I don't remember what I did before Bluetooth speakers, because when I'm working here in the office, I typically have a Bluetooth speaker because I'm listening to podcasts on my phone. So like if I'm shooting B-roll in here, bring the Bluetooth speaker in here. If I'm making dinner, take the Bluetooth speaker. You know, I listen to music in the shower, bring the Bluetooth speaker into the shower. It's like all like it's always like I always have a Bluetooth speaker around for those reasons. And then for travel or going to the beach, it's just great to have a sound source that's better than your phone, because if you're outside somewhere, especially at the beach where it's a little bit loud, you know, trying to get everybody to huddle around your phone to listen to music isn't going to be great. So the Stormbox Flow is a portable Bluetooth speaker, and it has some pretty cool features. One is that it is IP67 waterproof rated, so you can throw this in the water. It's going to survive no problem, which is great, because everybody has those accidents, whether it gets knocked in the pool, somebody spills a drink on it.
Splashing even, you know?
Yeah, splashing, whatever it is, you don't have to worry about that. Completely waterproof, which I definitely like. Another thing is that, like all Bluetooth speakers these days, this has a Type-C connection right here on the side. The Type-C connection, of course, is made to charge the actual Bluetooth speaker, but you can charge any other Type-C device with this, which is nice. And for some reason, like the really well-known brands, they don't have backwards charging for some reason.
That's so weird. Like, that's such a nice feature I've seen on like a couple products, like more and more products recently, and it's so handy.
Yeah, so you know, you're out, you know, typically I bring a Bluetooth speaker, I bring a portable battery, but if for some reason I forget my portable battery, I can just charge from this, which is really nice. This has a 30-hour battery life, which is really, really nice as well. So this is going to last you a very long time, multiple days and things like that. It's not over. I wish I had it. I did have it. I had it in the other room because I was making lunch earlier and I was listening to music. But it's not overly large, but it's not super small where you don't get a lot of power as far as the audio performance. This is a 25-watt speaker. It sounds really great. And it does have this X bass mode that you can enable. And it like it thumps. Like it's kind of impressive how loud this can get as well. So it's going to be really great for both indoor and outdoor use because there are a lot of Bluetooth speakers that are kind of small and kind of cheap. And like, again, you're at a bonfire, you're outside with friends, maybe even at the pool, and like you can barely hear it. This is really loud. So it's going to be great for both indoor and outdoor use, which I definitely like. You can also link these together. So you can link two of these together and then one will be the left channel. One will be the right channel. So you can have like really, really good sound that way as well, which is pretty cool. They also have an app so you can download the app and you can go through different EQ modes. There's preset EQ modes like X-Bass, Audiobook, Classical, and it goes down. There's like four or five that you can go through. But you can also set your own customized EQ as well. So if you know kind of what you like, you can set your own EQ within the app, which is pretty cool there as well. I really like this. It's $79.99. Just a great thing for the summer, great thing for travel. I really like waterproof because just maybe you're not the, you know, you're the careful one, but you're out with your friends and you know your friends are not the careful people and they're, you know, you don't have to worry about something getting broken or anything like that. This is going to be great for that. So I gave it a 9 out of 10. It is a little heavy compared to some of the other Bluetooth speakers, but I think that keeps I think that speaks to the quality of the speaker. Oldman in the chat says 25 watts is really good for a portable speaker. How big is it?
Yeah, like compared to a cell phone, like size wise.
Here, you talk to everybody in the chat. I'll go get it.
All right. Yeah. So I saw when from this angle of that picture, it looks like it might be deeper than it is, especially to get all that bass that he was talking about. But the side view made it look not very thick. Like from the picture, it looked like it might be like an inch, inch and a half. I guess we'll find out. I need to replace my Bluetooth speaker that I have. It's like a really small one, a single speaker, like, I don't know, 2.5-inch speaker that just is not adequate enough for the pool.
All right. So here's the speaker. Let me do it this way. Speaker. Oh wait, do it this way so you can't see all my.
Oh, you notice it.
Yeah.
That's speaker. A decent size bigger, and then like
what? Yeah, this is an iPhone 15 Pro. So not the Pro Max, just the Pro. So and then, I mean, it's not like super thick either. Yeah. One thing that's also cool about it that I didn't mention is that you can set it. Let me put it over here. Like you can set it like this, right? So it's you get the sound kind of directed this way, but you can also set it like this and get more omnidirectional sound as well. So I really like I like this thing, and like this is gonna be my speaker going forward. Just quality, really easy to set up as well. And for like again, we talk about like non-tech people. This does have a dedicated Bluetooth button. It's not one of those ones where you have to like hold in the power button for like 3 seconds.
And you got
to
know like the combo. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has a dedicated Bluetooth button and you can connect it to up to 2 Bluetooth devices. So, you know, say like Ryan, like your wife, you know, she doesn't have to repair every time. Mm-hmm. If you guys wanted to switch who's playing the music and everything like that, really, like I said, really easy to go ahead and use this. So, yeah, definitely the thing for summer. So check out our review of that. Sweet. Yeah, really cool. Let's see here. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And we have a really cool build here. This one is called Dystopia. And it is from Mayhem Mods. We haven't featured him in a little bit. So yeah. This one is done inside of the Sharkoon CA700 Elite, which is one of these sort of open air chassis, and actually from like Sharkoon, who's like typically known for cheaper cases. This is a pretty nice. I know, like, obviously he's done a lot of modifications, but yeah, just in general, it's a pretty cool looking build here inside the system. These are always just like, so not like, not taking anything away from Mayhem mods, but like these cases really make the build process so like, not easy, but like you always get a good looking system with these, I think.
Yeah, there's already so much done to them to make them stand out compared to like a standard case that, yeah, like you said, you can slap some, yeah, again, not to take away from it, but like slap some logos on and some additional pieces here and they look pretty crazy.
Yeah, he put the ADA 64 display over here, which looks great. Yeah, all of this like extra is all him. It's all his stuff. He's done a really good job there. Of course, custom water cooling. But not for the GPU, just for the CPU. You can see right here, you know, the reservoir put in here and EK parts. Yeah, it's just a nice, cool looking system.
I think I like it not being water cooled on the GPU on this one, because it, like, I think if you would have added the block, it would have been too much glass. You know what I mean? Like this, yeah, just, it's like a very metallic, you know, tough machine. Obviously, there's the bigger like reservoir and distro plate, but I think it looks good with the non-water.
Yeah, I think overall it's a nice build. I really like these. I would love to have this type. We've seen this style for a while, mm-hmm, and I would really like, but it's just too big, especially for like now that I drive the CES, taking a big machine. Like,
yeah,
this
you're
would
not
be no, would not be ideal. So well, yeah, but I really like this. Shout out to Mayhem Mods for this one. Of course, and we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds. If you're ever on the website and you want to find it, just go to articles, Case Mod Friday, and they're all listed there. We have 62 pages of case mods. So lots of cool stuff to check out there. We also have a new giveaway. So we're giving away the Corsair M75 wireless gaming mouse. It's going to run for 2 weeks. Just like all of our giveaways, we do it through Gleam. You fill out the little widget here, and then there are 16 different ways that you can enter this. Super easy to do. The only thing that we require is that you sign up for our newsletter. That's it. So awesome mouse. Yeah, get your entry in. Super, super easy to go ahead and do that. Old man in the chat said, those cases always remind me of Gundam head on a mech. Yeah, or he said maybe Armored Core. Yeah, that's why I really like them. They're like, they really stand out, and they're like, especially if you have it sitting on your desk, like it's something, it's not the normal PC case, and it's something that people kind of gravitate to, and I really like that about those. So yeah, we'll move on to news. So this was not an April Fool's joke, and when I saw it, I was like, and again, I have so many questions, because We'll show you what it is, and we'll discuss it. So Asus put this out on social media. How would you say this?
Moliner.
Moliner?
Well, yeah. It's okay. Thor's hammer.
Okay. Yeah.
Molnir.
So this is a portable power station, and these are really popular in the camping scene. Because you want portable power, or like the doomsday preppers and all this stuff, right? Portable power, and a lot of portable power, not like a portable power bank, like the little ones we all have. These are like thousands of dollars. We saw a ton of these at CES too.
Yeah, there's always a lot of them.
Now the question I have, why is Asus making one? And why is specifically Asus ROG making one? And again, they say this is not an April Fool's joke, and I don't think that it is.
Well, you know, like, okay, think of it as an Asus or an ROG, like, APC battery backup, right? Like, it's because it's probably going to have, like, good power conditioning, right? It's multi-purpose, so, like, you hook it up, use it with your computer all the time, and then if the power does go out, guess what? You've got this battery unit that's multi-purpose, and you could go power something else up with it, right? Maybe that's their...
I could see that. That makes a lot more sense, because when you think about the big battery power things like this, right? They're either for camping, they're for like off-grid cabins that a lot of people go to, and they need power, obviously, and it's off-grid, so you can't have power. all of these things, right? And like typically, and ROG is a gaming brand, like typically when you're going to do these activities, you're not, you a lot of time you don't even bring a laptop or thing. You're not doing the gaming. So that's why I just had questions about it. But
I mean,
what
if
you
anything,
say makes
if,
a lot more sense.
Yeah, if they were wanting it to be the other thing for like the cabin or camping stuff, like I would expect it to be a tough series, right? Their tough series branding with it. But yeah, I think in the like battery backup sense and using it like that for conditioned power and as a battery backup, and then if something, you know, the power does go out and you need it,
but
it's going
to also. Also, maybe you are an off-grid person. Maybe you do want to live in the cabin in the woods, and but maybe you're a gamer.
Maybe you like to game.
Yeah, maybe
give up
you
the
know.
Gaming. Yeah.
And you got Starlink, and you know, you got this. You got your gaming PC. You got Starlink. You don't need anything else. Yeah. You know, you go down to the tree, go down to the creek, and do your business. You're good. Completely off-grid.
Hey, I know that life. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it is kind of interesting.
It is.
They say more information at Computex.
That's my guess, is that it's going to be something like that.
Yeah, what you say makes the most sense.
Yeah.
It looks like
they've got some display there, right? Like how many watts or
yeah. Most of the nicer ones have all the display that shows you everything and
looks like
and all
two
that.
Type C's, two type A's, and then something below it. I don't know what that bottom.
It is interesting to see this because we've seen it kind of evolve over the past 5 years, because there have been products like this again years ago. They just were so like industrial, and now they all have screens. Now they all have all this stuff, and the batteries in there like last a lot longer now. Like,
yeah, they're a lot smarter. Like, you don't have to think about using it. You can just like plug stuff in and it works. And it looks like this maybe has like a fan on the side
for cooling as well. Yeah, something right there. So, but I mean, if you think about it too, this is a pretty big segment. These are huge. Like, again, we saw a ton at CES. So it makes sense for Asus to kind of get into that product category, I'd say. And that people were saying that you can like connect something to this.
Maybe.
Yes.
Presume it is a handle for it, right? To carry it, which seems like you would want to almost take that thing off because it just seems.
No, but I think this is to, they said like, that this is to, you can connect to something there, which I don't know what that's about, but
maybe you can slap a solar panel on top of it.
That's what I was thinking.
It, right.
Yeah. But who knows what this is going to be, but it'll be pretty interesting to see. Obviously Computex will hopefully get more information on that. Also talking about Asus, this is not going on now. It's $100 more now, but for one day, for some reason on Best Buy, you can get an ROG Ally, not the Z1 Extreme, but the normal Z1 for $299.
Was it just online? Because I went in there to Best Buy the other day and I saw an Ally sitting there and it had a lower price. And I stopped and looked at it for like 2 seconds and then kept going. And I don't remember if it was $299 or $399.
Well, now it's back to $399, but it was $299.
That's wild.
For like a day or 2 days, and then it's back, because we have the actual link. Like, if you go to the Best Buy link, it's back to $399, because you know this one says save $200. This one only now it just says save $100, so it's $399 now. But I mean, $299, like
that's in the realm of like, okay, I'm just gonna buy this thing.
Yeah, I mean it's not a bad.
But I saw it when I looked, when I got closer to it, I was like, this thing's bigger than I'd want anyways.
Yeah, but I mean, this is like $299 is a very like stomachable price.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
For what it is? Heck yeah.
Yeah, so really, not anymore. It's still $399, which still isn't a horrible price.
No.
So yeah, it's so crazy to see the competitiveness in pricing on all
these. That's great.
You know, because you see these, they're $1,000 or $699, $799, $599. And now, I mean, they're, you know, $299, $399, $499. pretty interesting. But sadly, this deal that was going on is not going on anymore. But we have seen some like really interesting spring deals pop up as well. There's a lot of springtime deal stuff going on. I think this is going to be a year of a lot of deals and stuff too, because the economy is kind of like, you know, and brands are going to get competitive. And again, especially in tech, we're sort of in this lull space when it comes to the graphics cards, CPU stuff. So it's all going to be competition throughout this year. So it's going to be pretty exciting to see. Moving on from there, another discounts, AMD Radeon RX 7900 XTX. So that's the highest one. discounted down to $889. It's the lowest it's been. This is with a coupon code, but still through Newegg. So it's $949, but you get a $60 promo code that you just put in. I mean, that's a good deal.
For, it's a good card. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is the lowest one, but you can still get like other cards, the other XTX models for right around $900. And this one's only $889, but like right around $900 for a lot of those. So again, just prices continue to go down on these. Towards the end of summer, I think we're going to see a lot more prices going down there.
Be great
as well. Now, this story is really interesting because there was a time where I played competitive gaming, like I was real serious about it. And I was in tournaments and things. And now I was in tournaments where it was like my own computer. There wasn't like, you know, all the big pro tournaments now.
Right. They provide a machine.
They provide the machines and they do all of that. Right.
Right.
But this is, I would be so pissed. So during the $1 million CS2 tournament,
$1 million. Whew.
One of the team's computer crashed, and it was during the match, right? And the other team won, obviously, because the other team was down one player, and they found out that it was an NVIDIA driver crash that caused it. So and we've all had an NVIDIA driver crash.
Sure.
You know, I'd be pissed.
Well, yeah, if you're at the point where you're playing in a tournament and the top prize is $1 million, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. And like the system was a Ryzen 7 7800 X3D and a RTX 4080. So it's not like, you know, yeah, that's crazy.
What was the driver just crashed? So I'm guessing he just like crashed to the desktop or something.
Yeah, I assume that's what happened. Or like it just the game, like if you had an NVIDIA driver crash, like the game just stops, or the system halts, or the system restarts, or whatever.
And then you're down like down a player in the game.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, yeah. Then it's like, do they have contingency plans for that to pause? It doesn't look like they do because it says
didn't seem
the
like
other team won the round. There's no way to like, oh, we had a machine crash. And then where do you go? Like, where do you step back to?
And like, so the PGL, which is who is running the tournament, they said that they like inherent, meticulously right? optimized each, you know, the systems for Counter-Strike. So like that's just crazy. Yeah, that's I would just be so upset if something like that happened in a tournament.
I mean, think about it. You're talking about a computer, you know, that like it can happen.
This is very true. It can definitely happen. So moving on to there, I saw there's these new AIOs from a company we've never heard of.
I saw this.
These are pretty cool.
It is kind of neat.
So these are from a company called Trix.
Yeah.
This is their, this is like a Chinese company, we assume, cause this is Chinese writing, on these pictures. Their new AIO is called Panorama, and it's called Panorama because it has these curved AMOLED screen. So this is what they look like. And I have to say, this makes complete sense with, like, I have an 011 dynamic here. You want to see the screen through the front of the case. You want to see it from the side. And typically, you're angled. Like, I'm at an angle for my CPU right now. And right. Typically, if you're in this setup, you're typically at an angle. So this provides a perfect angle to see what's on your AIO screen if that's what you want to see. And, you know, you can see, like, here's a case that's very much like an 011. And you can see the screen here. You can see it from the side. Like, this is the angle that you're typically at. And you can see the screen right there. Obviously, not a whole lot of other information. These are just being shown. But I like where we're going here.
Yeah, it's neat. Like you said, the ability to see it from whatever angle you're at.
Yeah, and that's a 6.5 inch curved screen. On the actual,
looks like maybe some daisy chained fans there too. Looking at the cabling, possibly. Yeah. And I like the depth, like on the one that's on the back, the black one. It looks like it's almost, they almost made it look 3D, like it's, you're looking into the pump, you know, because you can do that on that screen now. That's cool.
Yeah, really, really cool. So it just, we started from cell phones. We started from just a pump block. Then we put some blue, you know, LEDs on it. Yeah. Then we did RGB LEDs. And then we did the screen. And now we have these crazy screens. What's next? You know,
I mean, we have screens on the middle of the fan hubs now, right?
Like, yeah, it's just it keeps on evolving, which I definitely like to see. But pretty cool to see that. Also, Minisform announced some new mini PCs. One is part of their new Atom Man line, which I think is a horrible product name. You can see that right here. That's their liquid cooled PC, like which a, looks like knockoff this.
Knockoff Skull Trail logo.
Yeah. Well, now that the NUCs are done, I mean, you know.
Yeah,
man. But yeah, here it is here. And I really like this for, like, again, the people who, like, maybe want to go from, like, the console to a PC and, like, they just want something, a small little box, you know. Mm-hmm. I think these are really great. And I do think that Minisform is, like, one of the companies that's really taken these mini PCs to the next level as far as performance, feature set. We saw, like, the cool ones that they've come out with, too. So I really like this. This is their UH185 Ultra. Yeah, really, really cool to see that. They also have this one. Look at, with the screen on it. And you could, you know, have the clock there. I think that's really cool as well. And then they have even smaller ones like this. This almost looks like the Asus ROG one in a sense. Sort of.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah.
This small little one right here has a Ryzen 9 7945HX Radeon RX 7600M XT. So, yeah. And then there's this one as well.
Looks like a router or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like a router. So yeah, pretty cool stuff for Minisform. I think they're one of the big players, maybe not as much in the American market.
They release a lot of products too.
But they have a lot of really cool mini PC stuff. I hope, maybe, I don't think they'd be, it's maybe if they are at CES, we got to find them and check out some of their products. So I think they make some really cool, as much as, like, I don't think Ryan and I would really make use of mini PCs. I think they do make some really cool products.
Just think, like, that one there, or the, you know, one of the smaller ones, that could be your CES rig, right? The one had the you know, 16 core AMD processor and a dedicated GPU in it. And if it fits, you know,
you're not wrong.
This big, right? Like, instead of breaking down your system, bring that thing along.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. So yeah, really cool to see that from them. And then finally, a report from TrendForce says that SSD manufacturers are gearing up for a 25% price hike. So it looks like storage is going to get a little bit more expensive. That's the one thing that's not going to be as competitive this year, is storage. So,
well, and, like, especially with the earthquake, you know, in the last couple of days, like, how much, I know I saw, like, TSMC and some other fabs took some of their product lines down right after it happened, you know? So like, how much does that affect it? I think this was probably going to happen even ahead of the earthquake.
Yeah.
Also have additional repercussions to the pricing as well.
Yeah. SSD pricing has been really good for the past year, I'd say. Or just like storage pricing in general. But yeah, slight price hike. They say like Samsung is expected to raise prices by 15% across their consumer SSD portfolio. Enterprise SSDs can see up to 25% increase in cost. So if you were getting, you're thinking about getting an SSD, like get it now before these prices get a little bit more expensive going through the year. But yeah, we have good times and bad times when it comes to NAND in general. That encompasses not only storage, but also memory. And we have times where we have really great pricing, and then times where like pricing plus availability is really crap as well. So it's just like an up and down thing you kind of have to fight with. So we'll see how that plays out throughout the year as well. That is our news for the week. We move on to what's coming next week. And I have a really interesting keyboard. This is the EpoMaker RT100 mechanical keyboard.
It's getting close to Noctua.
I'll say it's not the full Noctua color, but it's this really retro style keyboard here, mechanical keyboard. It also has, they don't have any pictures of like the little, it has this like little computer thing that goes on the end. It's like a type C, but it's a little display.
Oh, it is. Okay.
And you can show stuff on it. I wish they had a better picture of it. I guess they don't. I don't think. Let's see.
They don't have one like further down on the page or anything. You think they'd want to show that off?
Yeah, it's like right there, but on the purple one, you can see it will show you some stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Little part of the keyboard there as well. So, yeah, I'll be taking a look at that. And also, we talk about all these ROG Ally. We talk about, you know, Steam Deck. One of the things that a lot of people do, of course, is upgrade the SSD in there, add more storage. So we're taking a look at the Viper Gaming VP4000 Mini. This is a PCI Express Gen 4x4 SSD. It's a M.2 2230 or 30 millimeter little M.2. Look at this thing. It's tiny.
It's like a little Wi-Fi card.
It's about the size of a quarter. I mean, it's so small. But perfect, up to 2 terabytes. Really fast storage for those small little devices. So we'll be reviewing that. And then the following week, we'll have it in a pretty cool product. A product that we saw at CES, actually. So we'll be using it in that product. So that's what's coming up. Maybe some other stuff, too. We always have a lot of stuff going on as far as reviews go. I always send pictures to Ryan of all the boxes that are at my house. Yeah. It's always a lot. Old man in the chat said, those mini PCs use laptop parts, right? Typically they do, just for size constraints, but depending on the mini PC. Now, a lot of the mini PCs will still use the same type of, power adapter as a laptop, but some do not. And some have dedicated power supplies or larger bricks than a normal laptop would. So you don't get as much power constraints when it comes to those parts. So those parts can boost higher, or they can have higher clocks or whatever it may be. So in some cases, the mini PC will perform better than like a laptop with the same spec parts, because that laptop has to operate under strict power rules because it, you know, even if you plug it in, it's still based on whatever the adapter that it comes with.
Well, and then some of them, though, will have more desktop oriented like CPUs if they're, you know, large enough and can and cool them and everything.
But yeah, that too. So like typically the bigger ones are like, they're really optimized, and you typically will get better performance because it's bigger. It allows for better cooling, because even like some of those like gaming laptops, one, they're loud, and two, they get so hot.
Yeah.
Whereas the mini PC, you have more room, you can put more cooling in it, you can do all that kind of stuff. So So yeah, moving on to our question of the week. This week, I wanted to see, or some people have been asking, like, what do we use for streaming? So what does, Ryan, what does your streaming setup consist of? I guess just go over microphone, camera, and I guess lights.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So starting with microphone, the Elgato Wave 3 and paired up with Wavelink software for that. I love this mic and the software and like just the ability to mix and adjust not just the microphone's audio, but my audio across, you know, across the board on my system. So very convenient there. My camera is a Canon M200. And then that is using the HDMI out into just a cheap $20, $30 HDMI USB capture card, you know, that's works like a champ. My lights, I used to use, still have them, the Elgato Keylight Airs. I have one right here and one over here further away. But the last like month or so, maybe a little longer, I haven't turned them on. And it's because I switched lenses. I used to use the kit lens that came with this, but I've been swapping it out with my 22 millimeter and it does better in low light situations. So I don't have to have these like blasting in my face in order to have a good picture. I've actually not even been using them. I have a set of Nano Leaf panels above my top monitor and they're at like 50% brightness. And then I have a little like lamp off to the side here. That's low light. So yeah, that's the setup.
Yeah. Mine's a little bit different. So for my microphone, I use the HyperX Procast. It's an XLR mic and that goes into the Sound Blaster K3, which is audio interface. So if you're using an XLR mic, you need an audio interface. So that's the audio interface that I use. My camera is the Sony ZV-1, the original one. I bought it to use as a vlogging camera, but it's pretty much
sits
there most of the time. But it does have like it is.
You it's know, good. It's quick. I mean,
that's
fast. Yeah.
But yeah, it is a really good camera for streaming and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And then right above, I have the camera and the lighting all on one stand. I have the camera in front that's on an arm, and then on top of the stand that the camera's on, I actually have a ring light. Because I bought like lights, like the they weren't Elgato's, but they were like the same. I just didn't like they were too bright, and like they just the coverage was just weird. It was way too bright in here. Because I you see like the little background lights and stuff. I like having stuff like that. The ring light just illuminates me and not much else, which I really like. Right. And the ring lights from Neuer. And what's really nice is I can just unscrew the ring light and just put it like away when I'm shooting B-roll and all the other stuff. Cause you don't see it in any of the product shots that we do like for products, which is really nice. And same thing with like the ZV-1, I can just unscrew it and take it if I actually need to use it for something else. So it's not just like always there. And of course, just like Ryan, the ZV-1 HDMI out into the same, like I think it was $20, you know, HDMI interface.
Work great. They're
awesome. That was like a thing, like they were just like on Amazon and you probably can't get them for $20 anymore.
Yeah, that's I bought a backup one like 6 months ago.
Oh, really?
Because I was taking it to CES. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I mean they're great for just doing little streams like this, and then I have this camera charges via USB, so I just have a USB cable for to keep it charged while we're doing this.
Yeah, I guess I have a dummy battery in my M200.
Gotcha. Yeah, but that's the streaming setup, and I just have like some lights back there, but that's basically it. I got a new arm for this. It's a no, I'm not using it yet. It's a low profile arm, so we're gonna see how that works out. Yeah, and I may adjust where this camera. I would like to, I don't know if I could put it in the center.
Yeah, the only reason I don't do center is because I have two monitors stacked.
I like this view though. I like the side view. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yours is more head on than mine. Like mine is much more.
Yeah, yeah, to the side.
I guess I could get it here and then. Yeah.
Yeah. It all kind of just depends what you're doing and everything. But yeah, that's the streaming setups. If you're interested in streaming, Ryan did have an article on the website.
Maybe I should like revisit that because it's probably changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
With just like how the application looks and everything. But yeah, I did like one or two.
Yeah. Right? What was it called?
It was based on Twitch streaming, I believe.
Yeah.
Ryan, like streaming to Twitch with Streamlabs OBS or something.
Yeah. He has some articles on the website for streaming. So if you're interested in streaming, Ryan has some articles on the website on that. We gotta do some pretty cool articles, I think, on some different stuff.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested in any articles, tech related stuff, let us know. Because we can do them. We have some pretty cool articles coming up on some different products as well.
Beginner's Guide to Twitch Streaming. There's part one and part two from 2019.
Dang, that doesn't seem like it's that old, but
January 31st of 2019.
Dang. Yeah. Yeah, a lot has changed since then.
Yes.
But yeah, so all right, guys. Well, that is. Oh, we didn't talk about it if we didn't. Where's your 360 snowboarding video?
On the SD card. Actually, no. I have the video on my PC as well. So
yeah, we've been waiting because you know Ryan went on his trip and he got a 360 camera.
Maybe not tonight. I was gonna say I could just fire up the. I should fire up the software and then share my screen, and then it can at least like show you.
Or just you know like what I mean? make like a 20-second clip.
Yeah.
That we can play for everybody. Everybody wants to see your 360 snowboard moves.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
Yeah. But anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about or that you did or
I don't think so, no. No. I mean I'm excited about a new product I got in. You know, I'm excited to take a look at it.
Nice.
Yeah. So here, let me do this.
You're going to break your computer. I know.
I might. We'll see, but let's just try. Share screen.
You're going to break your computer.
Window. There we go. Share. All right. Let's see what happens here. Turn down this audio. So let's just like get to somewhere.
This is their software.
This is their software, yes. Okay. And I haven't done. I just like just pulled this video in was all right. So I can zoom out and do all.
This oh, work. That's cool.
Yeah,
so, and you can fully rotate around yourself.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It is. I you know, like I said, I was pretty happy with this camera, and then you know, I can like scrub forward to wherever.
Yeah. Oh, that is super cool.
Yeah, it's neat. There's a lot of cool stuff. I think that you can there's like certain angles to hold it at that look better, right? And just like figuring out what those are.
Yeah, this software has like an auto cut feature too.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. And I haven't been, you know, I haven't messed with it a whole lot yet. But no, it's a
That's now cool. You're making me want to get these for my upcoming trip I have coming up.
You know, like
I don't know. I can't. The next camera thing I think I'm buying is a new main camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is cool though.
But yeah, no, and it's great because it's got, you know, I was using the invisible selfie stick, so it's the camera's just kind of floating out there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't see the stick that I'm
holding. The one thing I like about it, I like about the 360 is like you really don't have to think about it.
No, right? Not at all.
With like my GoPro, you have to, you know, angle the camera where you want and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, there's a couple like seam spots on the sides, right? All the way around because of where those two lenses and it stitches it together. But even then, if you catch one of those, like it still looks good.
Yeah, that's really cool
on there. And, you know, this is like a 5 point, what is it, 5.7K video at, I think I just did 30 FPS on these. I don't think I did 60. I don't remember now. Maybe it'll tell me. Yeah, 5760 by 2880, 30 frames per second. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, look at that. It's playing it back just fine. I didn't blow my computer up.
All righty.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I may have to get one of those. Who knows? Old man in the chat said he finally shucked and installed two 18 terabyte WD Easy Store drives in my build. It's a lot of storage. I need
pricing error on Best Buy is how I got them.
Yeah,
very nice.
Yeah, I need to find pricing error on WD Red drives for the NAS. The NAS. I need to re-up my storage.
I'm about a little over halfway full on mine.
My 20 terabyte external that I use to before everything goes on NAS has 3 terabytes left. It's down to its last. Yeah, getting up there. I need to clear out some stuff. So yeah. All right, guys. Well, that is it for the podcast. Of course, we are going to be streaming over on Twitch, playing some Apex Legends, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. If you want to continue to hang out with us, Ryan, of course, hosts that stream. So you can go over there and yell at him if you want to. But he hosts that stream. So we'll be over there. So until next week, catch everybody later.